Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My name is Don Stott. I am a father who experienced estrangement from one of my adult children firsthand. Welcome to Beyond the Pain, a place where parents of estranged adult children can find peace and healing. In each episode, I hope to share stories that'll help you through some of your darkest hours. To bring this out of the shadows and stop being ashamed. Then to build you up and inspire you to love yourselves even more. I want to start by reminding you that I am not a therapist or a doctor. I'm just a guy who's been there and wants to help you have a life past our estranged children. If you need mental help coping with this or have thoughts of hurting yourself or someone else, please seek professional help. Hi there, guys. This is my first live broadcast. Wanted to come on and have everybody have the opportunity to be able to interact and, you know, ask questions or tell us, you know, whatever. I'm also going to have a couple of guests with me. You've seen, if you've watched my videos, you've seen them before. Michelle and Nancy will be on here momentarily. And like I said, I really appreciate this opportunity and glad that you guys are, glad you guys are with me on this journey. Sorry you have to be here, but I'm glad that you're here with me, helping me to help people. So without further ado, let me bring Michelle on. I see she's in our little waiting room. And feel free to post comments and ask us questions as we go along, okay?
Hi, Donald.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing all right. It's been a couple months since we talked. So yeah. How are you doing? How are things going?
Everything's going really well. I'm sure we'll get into some things deeper than that. But yeah, sure. Everything's going really well overall.
Cool. Well, thank you for being here. I know this is, like I said in my email, this is the first time I'm doing a live. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, some of the people watching will interact with us. That's the whole idea. So yeah. Get some actual live conversation going on. So for anybody else who's out there, yes, just post in the comments. I'm pretty sure that both on the Facebook groups that it's posted in and the YouTube channel, that when you post a comment, I should be able to see that, and then we can respond to you. So
are you live on both? Are we live on both platforms?
I am. I am. Yeah. So I've got two Facebook groups it's in, and then the YouTube channel that it's on. Yeah. I'm using the, this program that I'm using allows you to do that and multiple other things. So, so it's been really cool. So it's been quite a journey for me anyway, doing this. You know, I've gotten lots and lots of positive feedback and, you know, a little bit of constructive criticism, which is fine. And then I don't know if you saw the most, I think it was last week's most recent, or if you saw that it was posted the most recent. I actually had a conversation with a gentleman, a young man. He's an estranged child. So so that went pretty well, I think. He kind of explained his situation, and it, I think it, you know, sheds some light for some people.
It wasn't my son, was it?
No, it was not. So at least he didn't mention that he was your son.
Yeah.
So, so I don't believe so, but yeah. But it went well. I think having more of those, can't hurt. And being able to talk to some of those people. You know, maybe it'll help some of us parents figure out if we really do have something that we need to deal with. So,
yeah.
But
it's good to have both perspectives, you know,
for sure.
We can't see outside ourselves. So we have to really work on being able to, be the observer of our behavior and our mind and our thoughts and all of that. So,
right. No. And I know that, you know, part of what we talked about when we talked before was that, Nancy's having a little issues. So let me send her the link again.
You know me, I can just talk. I can.
Clearly do. That's okay. Like you said, having more perspectives and we can't heal anything if we don't know and we don't realize what's going on. So,
right.
I think you made some really excellent points, about the whole thing. So, and I've already gotten some good feedback, you know, about it. I was just talking to a gentleman, a little while ago, on the phone who maybe wanted to do an interview, and, he enjoyed the young man's perspective. His name was Phil, if anyone is asking, by the way. So, yeah. So as far as us goes, I mean, what's going on with anything going on with me? As everyone knows, I'm no longer estranged from my son, although we have a little bit of a difference of opinion about some things, but so it's a little strained, but I think that's kind of normal, the normal kind of strained stuff. I was able to see them a couple of weeks ago, so that was nice. See the grandchild and stuff. So there is some hope. And I have heard of other people, both in the Facebook groups that I'm a part of and the people from the YouTube channel and the podcast that mention that they've been able to communicate a little bit. So so that's the whole idea. But let me see if Nancy's able to get in still. I think that was her that just tried to call a moment ago. Let me text her. So this is the kind of stuff that happens when you're, you know, live streaming and, you know, new to all of this. let's see. Okay. I've watched a lot of people do this, and so this is certainly not unique. to this. We do have a, oh, hold on just a second. Sorry. I think this is probably Nancy.
Okay.
Nancy. Hi there. Oh, you, yeah. Oh, check your email. I just sent you another email with a link, and that should, you should just have to click on that link and. All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Technical difficulty. She's on her way. I do see a couple of comments, so that's great. I'm going to show them on the screen here. Hopefully I do this right.
I can see them on mine.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. So I assume that's talking to me, Elizabeth. My estrangement lasted for almost 3 years, and I was able to, my youngest daughter ended up, well, not ended up, she was graduating high school, and I invited my son to the graduation, and surprisingly, he came. It was very awkward, just because it's been so long, and then after that, we started emailing back and forth. It kind of brought his walls down a little bit, and we started emailing back and forth. He told me some of the things that he had an issue with. And I was able to try to explain some of those. So, it was really, I don't think it would have happened had it not been for that. And he had some other stuff going on with his, mother and his grandfather, on her side. And, I don't know that it would have happened if that hadn't been the case, if I hadn't been able to invite him to that. So I hope that answers your question. So,
hey, there's one on there, Dawn. How do you worry that you might say or do the wrong thing and they'll be gone again? Can I grab one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please.
So that's actually happened to us. Our son last year was upset that we wouldn't give him money for his baby shower that was over the top, in my opinion. But, you know, it's his baby shower. He can do whatever he wants. But I wasn't going to pay for that. And he actually scheduled it on my husband and I's 32nd wedding anniversary. That's right. And I don't even think he knew that. And it's like, well, we're going to be out of town during that time. So he was very upset with us, and we didn't go because we were traveling, and it didn't speak to us for several months. And his baby was born during that time. I don't even really know why he was upset, other than I felt like he was acting out a little bit because he was trying to get us to pay for things. And I mean, that's my perception. He might have a completely different one, I'm sure. And I just don't like being strong-armed into doing things that I didn't agree to do. And so I have no problem saying no. And, you know, if they get upset, that's on them. But he went away for several months and then he was back. And then when we wouldn't do what he wanted again. So this is kind of his way. When he doesn't get his way, he takes his ball and goes home. And this is kind of his way of, that's how he operates. So do I worry about it? No, I actually expect it because that's kind of his way of operating. And I'm a little annoyed with it, quite frankly. It's like he needs to grow up, in my opinion. So my husband and I were talking today, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're over it. So we'd love him. We'd love to have him in our life, but this isn't a one-way relationship. So he's going to have to grow up. If he keeps saying we're treating him like a kid, and it's like, well, you're acting like a kid. So, you know, that's a two-way street there. So anyway, that's how I look at it. Yes, they probably will be gone because once they realize that works and it hurts us, which is what they want to do, then they're going to do that again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Nancy's here now, so let me bring her on and we'll continue our conversation.
Hi.
Oh. Hi, Nancy. Let's change this layout a little bit. There we go. How are you doing today?
Having technical difficulties.
That's okay.
What are we doing?
Just
a moment.
Wow. Looking in the, that's the camera right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to look a little better.
No worries.
Technology is always fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Technology is going to kill me. Technology. So here I am. What are you talking about?
Very good. Sorry you had a little trouble getting on. Like I said, it's new to me doing this, so I'm learning too. So.
Great.
But let's try to make it a little even. Okay, cool.
He's going to get some books up with this.
Cool.
Oh, you're so clear. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Nancy. Nice to meet you.
You too. Yeah. Very much so.
Okay. Yeah. That
should help a little bit. Well,
and we appreciate his help too.
I don't know why I'm so grainy, but it's a lot of flaws.
You make green look good, Nancy.
Very good.
Thanks, Tim. I don't know why it's all blurry.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye.
Sorry.
So.
Sorry,
but, I'm like. No worries. Like I said, technology. So I just appreciate it. I should tell you, Nancy, I was just having a conversation with a gentleman earlier. I don't know. I know you said you saw us on YouTube, so I was talking a little about it. But the gentleman who may want to do an interview at some point, he's a little older than I am. And he mentioned your specific video and a lot of the things that he could really relate to, the contract thing. And how you had to do that. He reminded me of that. When he said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. I forgot about that, but you're right. That was a little out there. But
totally out there.
Yeah. So, but I appreciate you coming. Like I was telling everybody else, I think being able to interact, and we are getting some interaction from some of the people watching on Facebook and YouTube, which is great. To help just that much more. So I appreciate it. To that end, we have another person. And just so everyone knows out there on Facebook, I'm remembering this now that I'm looking at it. I don't see names on Facebook. With YouTube, when you comment on YouTube, it will come up with your name. So just keep that in mind. So I have another question.
A new year. Oh, I see.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I'm not sure. Parents experience the same difficulty when I find my thoughts spiraling. I've been depressed, but getting help, it was hard because. So, yeah, I think most of us probably have been through that at one time or another.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty normal. Looks like we have this person's on Facebook and I see her name. So Stephanie, I see your comment. That's difficult. Does anyone want to chime in there, you guys?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to. How do you ever trust again? I always trust, but verify is how I look at it. I will trust someone. And then if something changes, I may not trust them as much. And I really don't trust the children. I've got 3 children that I'm estranged from out of 5.
Oh.
And one died. So I've basically got one child that talks to us. And when our son Philip died, you know, that changed the dynamics of the family. And so there was a lot of grieving. I was heavily grieving, heavily. And they did not understand that because they felt like, oh, you loved him more than you loved us, you know? So there's a lot of dynamics that come when a child dies. And I really don't trust them because I see how they're operating. And I mean, I don't think I would trust them again, not until they show me something different, because I can see that that's how, what they're doing is when they don't get their way, they pull away from me and take away affections and relationship. And to me, that's not a very healthy way of managing your life. Because then it's just about control and, you know, them getting me to perform in a certain way. And I'm not going to do that. So I don't know if I answered that very, very good, but that's how I feel.
When they ask, how can I trust again? I'm wondering what they're referring to. Trust the relationship, trust that if they come back, they'll stay back, trust that they'll come back, trust that they're telling you. I would like a little more detail to answer that question accurately. Sure. There are so many corners, you know, that things hide in, emotions hide in, you know, and to, it's like, how do you sift through what is true and what isn't, you know, verify.
It's very important. Well, it looks like that person did respond. You should be able to see those too, I think, Nancy, the responses. So she did say thank you. So she must have, that must have helped. So cool. And I see Jeannie Rhodes, you're new to estrangement. I am so sorry.
We know it.
The beginning for me was so tough, as I'm sure it was for most everybody else. And that is just, it's depending on where you're at in your journey. I mean, it's very tough.
but shocking, right? It's shocking in the beginning. Like, what just happened?
It is.
I can't imagine you going through it with two of your kids and three. One died, but you're estranged from two, correct?
Three.
Oh. Right.
Oh, okay.
So our youngest daughter is the one that is still, I mean, and she's over here all the time. She's spent the night 2 days this week and we work together. So her and I are very close. But she doesn't understand her siblings. Now I have a daughter that I've been estranged from for 3 years. And I did talk to her this week. We went to lunch in February. But it's very odd to me.
I think when we spoke, she was getting ready to come over to your house that day, as I recall. Yeah. So
she didn't come over that day because I just said, well, I haven't talked to you in 3 years and now you're making demands to come over on a Sunday afternoon. That doesn't work for me. So I was like, no, you don't get to do that. Because I think that's part of the game.
Yeah.
At least with my kids, part of the game is I will be in charge of you now.
I think with some of them, some of them it is. Jeannie, yep. I see your comment. When will I stop crying?
There's no answer to that. There's no way to answer it. My opinion is cry. Whenever you need to cry, get it out. You know, because your tears have cleansing chemicals or something. I don't know scientifically, because I have read this. There's healing in tears. And you have to cry. If you don't cry, you're going to develop ulcers or some other probably, you know, problem in your body. Yeah. I almost died from the stress of it. So, and I cried.
I think crying is your soul's way of healing, right?
So too. And there's no any of this lightly. It is not, you know, you can't really take it lightly. You have to let your body go through what it needs to go through, all the stages of the grief, like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote about. And there are no shortcuts. I think that's what I'm trying to say. There are no shortcuts. There's no date where you'll stop crying. At some point after a good amount of time and you decide to make some changes, you may decide not to go there, you know, every time. Like, the rumination will really bring you down. And if you sit and think about it enough, you will get depressed and you will cry and you will be stuck in this hole. Yeah. And But you have to be in that hole for a while. And you have to get strong enough to get out of it so that next time you're in that hole, you've got stronger muscles to get out of it. But
exactly. And you know, I did, and it's not a popular opinion with some men, but I did my share of crying. Let me tell you, I remember it vividly. I was in a meeting at work, and I may have told you guys this, but I was in a meeting at work, and it was very fresh. It was the first few months. And mine started in September, so the holidays were coming up. It was this time of year. And I tried to fix it before, because I thought I could. I tried to fix it before the holidays, and I just couldn't. So I'm in a meeting with people, and I had done something wrong. I don't even remember what it was. And my boss asked me about it, and I started to lose it in her office with all the people around. Yeah. So she cleared the office, and we talked and whatever. But I just, you know, like you said, you have to go through those emotions, and you have to let them out, whatever they are. And I've, in my experience with talking to other people in the groups, a lot of them didn't want to be angry either at their kids or at themselves or at the situation, whatever. I'm like, as long as you're not hurting somebody, be angry.
Yeah. You know? I feel that too.
Yeah.
I think anger actually can help you. Because there are days where I'm walking around the house going, may I use the word?
Absolutely.
And I'll think about my son and go, fuck you. And
then right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes, and that example right there, sometimes you have to say those things.
Right.
You know, that aren't popular. Hopefully no one is offended. But if they are, I apologize. But, you know.
I'm sorry.
No one can offend you without your permission. So, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't give us permission to offend you.
Anger, you know, you got to let anger out. You got to punch a pillow, you know, yell, whatever. However, a certain amount of anger is justifiable. It's righteous anger. And it can actually strengthen you in a way. Not, you know what I mean? It can help.
Sure.
For me, I went through tears and tears and grief and sadness and talking about it. So my friends probably were like blocking my calls, you know. I have good friends and they didn't, but I'm sure they wanted to. So I finally got angry. It took years. And that has been enabled me to detach more than I could before when I was in the grief and the hurt and the victim role. You know, I was a victim. And I don't think like that anymore. It's taken a long time though. It's an endless process when you grieve a living child.
Yeah, for sure. Stephanie, I see your comment too. You're absolutely right. I know we passed by that a little bit, but it absolutely is a release. So, like we were saying. So,
orphans.
And I see, I don't know the name, but I see another comment from Facebook. It's 9 years, still crying. I've talked to so many people. Yeah, I've talked to so many people that are decades in sometimes. And there's just, sometimes it gets easier for some people. It just depends on you and what you're, where you're at.
And what side you want.
Right. So you do have a choice in how you react to all of this, I guess, would be the way. You know, they didn't give you a choice in it happening, but you ultimately have a choice in how you handle it. So and how you move forward. So
you do.
Well, that's when your power comes in, is when you realize I have a choice. Mm-hmm. Because even like when my son died, for 3 years, I was in the victim mode. And I always feel like support shows up for where you're at. Well, all of my friends were not going to say, stop crying about your dead son. Nobody was going to say that, right? And so they just supported me and like, you know, because they didn't know what to do or what to say or anything like that. But I knew at some point I was going to have to get mad and, get up and take on my life and punch through this, because otherwise it becomes your life.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to become my life, just being in grief all the time. And it was exhausting, quite frankly.
It's exhausting. I was literally just going to say that. It's exhausting.
So, it's like so heavy. You're just carrying it around. It's, you know what I said, Dawn, before? It's like having an app that's open on your phone, draining the battery. And maybe that. You're not even using the app, but it's always there, open, and it's just sucking the life out of you.
Yeah.
And so at some point I'm like, gee, I should just close the app. That would be a novel idea. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people will say, well, that sounds easy. And I know it does sound easy and it is easy, but it's a decision. It's like, you have to get to that place, or at least I did. I had to get to that place where I always try to speak from myself, because I don't know what other people do, but for me, I had to for my own sanity and my own, you know. And then I've handled this very similarly, because this is grief too.
Sure.
It's a different kind of grief, but it is still grief.
And unfortunately, you've experienced both kinds now.
Yeah.
So.
I also have a friend who had two daughters. One died and the other one was estranged, and then she committed suicide with the other daughter.
Oh my gosh.
Two deaths and an estrangement. And she said, you know what she said? Estrangement is harder.
Yeah. I've heard people say that. For me, it's not, but
I wouldn't think so. But I know,
just because my goal was always to raise them to be independent of me, and they're doing that. They're off living their life. I know they're in the world. They're, you know, they have kids and they're enjoying their life, and that's always what I wanted for them ultimately. It wasn't to be dependent on me or anything.
But not just independent of you.
Yeah.
That much.
Yes.
No, I hear you. That's the way to raise a child. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know I spoke with a gentleman a few weeks ago, Kenny Weiss. He's a life coach and does a whole bunch of other things. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that he was saying too, was, you know, we and all of his stuff I wasn't necessarily on board with, but you know, that we do raise them to be grown and independent and to leave. You know, so that part's kind of the normal part of things, and you want that. So just how much of the them not speaking to us now, how much of that is something that we did or they perceive we did, or how much of that is just that's the way they are, you know? So
every case is so different, but what isn't different is how we feel as parents, you know. There's a real bottom line on that. But every story, you know, in my first book, I didn't tell my story, and I'm not going to tell it in my second book, because what's the point?
Right.
And then they did that, and then they said that, and that was a lie. Who cares? We've all heard stories. But what I'm interested in is, how do you work with what happened? How do you work with the, you know, the absence of your beloved child? You know, so.
Yeah. No, for sure. So. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think you were here yet, Nancy, but I last week, as a matter of fact, I had an interview with an estranged child, and he's the latest interview on there.
Wow.
His young man's name was Phil. He had posted on a couple of comments on the YouTube channel. He said I don't remember how he said he found it, but it came up as a suggestion for him. My channel did. And he posted a couple of comments, which were very pleasant and, you know, just kind. He agreed to come on, and I interviewed him, and I think it went very well. I've gotten a couple of positive comments from other people about his view. You know, he is of the opinion, in a nutshell, that if you're child has done this, then there is some reason, whether or not they've told you, but there is some reason, or maybe they've tried to tell you and you didn't hear them or whatever, which does happen, I'm sure. I don't think it's the case with everyone, again, but it's from his perspective. But I think it went well, and I would like to do more of those so that we see more of their perspectives, and maybe it would help somebody, especially new people just going through it. So
I'm curious, how do you think it would help a parent? What, every story is different. Mm-hmm. Every child is different. And so I haven't heard the interview, so I don't know what he said, but
sure.
I'm just wondering how that would work. Because,
well, I mean, I just think that, I mean, there could be, you know, obviously we're not all perfect. None of us are perfect.
Not. Nobody
you
is.
You know, somebody we have done potentially, even if we don't know it, we might have done something that they took the wrong way or whatever. And I'm just, maybe if we hear it, you know, it's kind of like, as I'm thinking about it, it's kind of like when you tell your kids something, you shouldn't do this, and they don't listen, you know, being kids. Sure. And then when their teacher that they respect or someone else's parents tell them the same thing, then they do it, you know? So it's kind of like, they might be able to hear it from someone else rather than their own child or parent. So, well, and maybe it would click.
But very often, and I've talked to a lot of people, very mm-hmm. often it's somehow skewed. It's either revisionist, sure. you know, maybe by the gatekeeper, the partner, the spouse, the in-law, or they don't even remember it correctly, or they believe the lies. I mean, there's so many traps in that kind of a way of going about it. I mean, most parents I've worked with have asked their child, what's the problem? Let me work through it with you.
As did I.
I yes. want to take responsibility. Yep. Writing. So, I mean, I don't see the value personally of having estranged children on going, well, yeah, and giving all the reasons why we know that. We are already there, aren't we? As parents, and we've heard it.
Well, I'll rephrase. I asked, but I never got any answers.
Okay.
So
see, there you go. Right.
So if we're not getting any answers from them,
yeah,
then that would be a place where it might be able to be helpful. But yeah, if your kid has already told you, well, you're a horrible person because of this, well, I guess there's not much more to say.
In some cases, they do tell their parents. Mine is an in-law problem. And yeah. my son never said anything horrible to me, but he's colluded with her. He's still with her. So I'm still not in the family. Yeah. So every story is different. Every sure. reason is different. If we focus on, I guess I have found that if we focus on their behavior, their words, their everything, we're always going to be trying to fix it or being too overly codependent. I don't have a better word than that. But in the people pleasing role, or you know, wanting more than they can give or want to give, instead of just saying, all right, I'm the mother, I'm the father, I'm here, they know where I am, and maybe we'll talk.
Then right.
I've said everything I can say. I've written letters of amends that fell right through them. That was a mistake.
Right.
And because they have it in writing, right? And they can read it over and over and use
different. Yes.
Yeah.
And then in my case, it was misinterpreted by the wife. You know, again, who cares about the story anymore?
Right.
You know, who cares about what they did? I care that I am on this earth and less time with each day. And I want it to be a good life. And if I'm always worried about, well, I can't believe I actually accidentally stuck him with a pin on his diaper, and he remembered, you know, I mean, I know kids who grow up with drug addict parents, alcoholic parents, absent parents, who love their parents and would never dream of doing this. So,
yes.
So that's why I think in the case of being estranged from our children, adult children, we need to concentrate on our quality of life. not theirs anymore. We've done everything. I've done everything I can. Sounds like you have, Michelle, and I know you have, Don. So
yeah, that makes sense.
What the hell is it? You know, we love them. We'll always be here when they want and need us. But I'm not willing to devote my life to this anymore.
Understood. You know,
yeah.
There's
I
a couple.
Say, Nancy.
Yeah, Stephanie's made a couple of comments, so let me just make sure and address her. You know, I see.
True. That's the opposite. Worked with it has so much guilt.
Yeah, and I felt like I did, even though I didn't quite understand.
Sure.
What it was.
Yeah.
I thought surely I had to have done something. I just didn't know what it was.
We all have. I made lots of mistakes. You're kidding. And I have apologized to my son for every single one of them.
Yeah.
And he heard me. And he heard me.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Stephanie, too, I think I think sometimes there is.
Yes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Outside influence, definitely. I think that's what you were just talking about, Nancy, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. This would not have happened if my son had married somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I initially thought was going on with mine. I mean, yes, we both had a tiff with our daughter-in-law, but then other things happened, and my son is the one who decided to cut things off. Come to find out later, she, you know, was trying to get him to come, you know, contact us and come back and whatever, but with mm-hmm. other things that went on that he had issues with, he decided to not, you know, in a nutshell. So,
I have a perception of that I do believe the daughter-in-law is part of that. But at the end of the day, my son is responsible.
Exactly.
Yep. He's responsible for his relationship with me.
Yeah.
And he needs to, well, he doesn't need to. He could. He has an opportunity to manage, you know, both his wife, just like my husband did with his mother. He still talks to his mother. And, you know, when I look at the way we were raised and the amount of things that happened that we could have went like this, you know,
Right.
hands of them, that would have never even come to me.
Right.
I went to my parents, and I think our culture now is just a, like, just get rid of them. Just get them out of there. They're toxic, or they throw these words around. And it's like, in reality, they don't have any coping skills.
No, they're too young.
They don't really know how to work through things, because when you have pain and trauma and things that happen to you, you learn to work through things and navigate them so that you become a stronger individual.
Yes.
Yeah.
They see a lot of people not doing, they just don't cope. They go, well, I'll take a pill or I'll just get rid of them. And then it's right. like, how are you ever going to learn anything if that's how you handle it?
Yeah. Yeah. They're still young. Well, my son's not that young. He's 52.
Right.
Yeah. And he, you know, we can't control anybody. We can't control our child. It's hard enough controlling our own thoughts, you know?
Right.
I agree with you.
I don't know. Hold on a second, though, Nancy. Okay, I still feel like I'm young. I'm 54, but I still feel like I'm young sometimes.
Well, not. We now know that the brain doesn't fully develop until 25 or 26 years old. So here I am, a young mother at 22, going, I'll do what my parents did. Well, that, you know, you have no idea
right.
until you're older. That's the good news about getting older. We do get a lot more wisdom and learn, you know, peace is the most important thing to me. I'm in my 70s.
Oh, my goodness, it is.
It's what I want. Peace of mind, peace of, you know, making amends where I had to, taking responsibility, right. and then letting it all go.
Yeah.
Yes.
My wife and I both were like, sometimes we look and we're like, we have this boring little life, but I'm like, I'm okay with that because I see the drama in other places. I'm like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you guys do, I find myself looking at the sky a lot, or just water if I'm there, or the trees, the wind. I mean, we've been through a lot. I mean, it's not to be underestimated, the trauma of losing a relationship with our child. And I think in the end, we do learn. There's a flip side. I think there's an up and a downside to everything. And the upside here is I've learned how to sit with myself, how to be alone, how to let things be as they are without fighting it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's a piece of that, Nancy, like learning to be in the present moment.
Yeah.
Like really being, it's very difficult. It takes practice.
Yes.
It's like being here right now, because all suffering happens either in the future, what we're thinking about that we don't have or won't have, or in the past of, oh, maybe I could have done this better, or I'm guilty, or I should have done that, or maybe I shouldn't have said that, or they shouldn't have said that to me. But that's where all the suffering happens. And then what happens with our brains is we pull that past into the present. Mm-hmm. We relive it in our brain today, and then it becomes our future. So we just get stuck in that mire, you know? So I think what you're talking about, really being present and mm-hmm. looking at the trees and, you know, like being present, like we have dogs, we have these little dogs that we just love, taking mm-hmm. them for walks and enjoying our life.
Yes.
My life being about some, you know, I say it's like jumbo shrimp because it's like adult child. They're not children anymore. They're adults. They're grown-ass adults. Like, you know, do what you're going to do. Live your life.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry, I got on a roll there.
That's okay. That's okay. That's what it's all about.
It was good. There's a saying, I don't know if you've ever been to Al-Anon. I've been to Al-Anon for adult children, you know, who parents of alcoholics.
And
there's a saying, stop shooting all over yourself.
Yeah.
It's a little graphic, but
like
it's so true. But that's what you were talking about. Past and the front, you know, you're just standing. What are you doing about the present, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Right now.
So, somebody's asking what I think you mentioned, Nancy, about the gatekeeper.
Yes, gatekeeper.
So
yeah, I have one like that too.
Yeah, that's my daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot.
You know what? I've coached a lot of people,
and
I'm just keeping track of my own practice.
Yeah.
And who initiates the estrangement?
Right.
This is only in my study. 99% is a female. It's either a daughter, lots of daughters.
Interesting.
And daughters-in-law. Guys rarely do. Guys will go along with the woman. They will, you know, they're part of it, but they don't initiate it.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. that's where my son is at. And, you know, we tell you whole stories about that. But I'm going to. Yeah. The gatekeeper can be very dangerous. Very dangerous for your relationship with the spouse or partner of a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper, because I think maybe they may have been asking, is the one who guards the home, the children, the spouse, and decides who can come in and who can't. And in this case, it's my daughter-in-law. And in your case?
Well, she's saying he took her off social media, cut her off from her family.
That's the guy.
I don't know if they're okay. I mean, that's that sounds to me like abusive behavior.
Oh, yeah. Scary. Yeah.
I would be very concerned about that.
Yeah, I would too. Very much so. Is there another one?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the same person because it doesn't have their name, but...
Yeah, you're right. It's not always a woman. Yeah, and I think she's referring to what I said. Oh, absolutely not always, but gotcha. Most of the time, it's a woman. I don't know. I don't have any answers about that. And there are definitely guys who get
involved. Of course.
Yeah.
Controlling.
Yeah.
But like you said, that's, you know, what you're seeing in your
just practice. In my world where I've been, the people I've been working with.
Yeah.
That may change.
Yeah, and Stephanie is agreeing. The daughter-in-law is also the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I assumed was going on, like I said, with my son, and it ended up being a little different. So
Don,
yes.
Not to change the subject, you had mentioned talking about the holidays coming up, which is very hard for parents.
Yes.
So maybe you can touch on that.
Yeah, for sure. I know in the Facebook group I'm in, which I know some of these people from Facebook are in one of those groups. We start seeing an influx of people right left just before Halloween, after Halloween, and up until the beginning of the year. So of new people. And it's for me, like I said, it was this time of year, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I made some notes about it, and I think, you know, difficult as it is, and I'm certainly not saying it's not difficult, but trying to find someone else to maybe you can volunteer. You can volunteer at a pet shelter. You can adopt some other family, you know, depending on your situation, obviously. But it's definitely a terrible time of the year. I think the key for me anyway was not being, and for some people it's difficult because they literally are alone, but if you have an option not to be alone during some of that, I think is important. What do you guys think?
Michelle?
Well, we have been doing different things. So we're traveling. We're just doing us. It's like you guys do you, we'll do us. So we're actually going on a trip to Mexico. My daughter and her fiance are going with us. And we're going to go down to the Yucatan Peninsula down there and go to the ruins and like just really make a nice vacation. I'm sure they won't like that. They feel like we give too much money to my daughter, and there's been different things said. I don't know what they think, but that's what's been said. Right. And you know what? I don't care. I feel like we'll take that money that we were going to spend on them and the kids and
do
something for ourselves. And that's how we're handling it. Maybe it seems selfish. I don't know. But I'm not going to sit around with my knitting needles and cry in my soup. You know, that's because that I feel like each of my kids is a little bit different. But with my son specifically, he's doing this to hurt us. Right. So I know his motive. Our oldest daughter, she feels like she can't deal with us. And that a lot of that is from the grief. And she's just got some challenges in her life that I don't necessarily think it is about us. And then our other daughter, she has a gatekeeper who happens to be another girl. And so she's in a same-sex relationship. And that girl has done exactly what, I don't know who it was. I don't think they had a name, but you know, she's made our daughter sell her car. She doesn't drive anymore. She drives her everywhere. The other girl does. She doesn't work. She's quit her job that she's had since she was 18 and she's 28. And she's very controlling. So she's controlling everything. And I have some challenges with that. I think that seems unhealthy. And I'm really working on also not judging it because it's not my place. She's an adult. Go live your life again. But I don't really understand how we don't fit into that picture. So with the holidays with them, we just won't see them. I spoke to her the other day. It didn't really end well. It didn't really go well. Because I'm kind of, you know, like you, Nancy, I'm calling horse shit. So it's like, I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of, you know, the whole story of the guy digging through the manure going, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. I'm like, there's no pony. It's just
no horse pony shit. In there.
I'm sick of it. So sorry, Dawn, because on your live
part of this.
Okay.
I would like to share.
Yes.
Years ago, I was studying music therapy, and I had a guitar, and I went into this hospital for my internship, and they said, okay, you're going to go to this guy. He's paralyzed from the neck down. He had something happened to him. He was only in his 40s. And I walked into the room, and he looked at me with a big smile. He said, oh, how wonderful. You're here. I'm so happy you're here. It was Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so I felt really dumb because I'm not really a singer. I can play guitar. So I started singing Joy to the World, you know, badly. And he went, oh, he didn't clap. He said, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. And he was in a hospital for 4 months and no end in sight because he was paralyzed.
Oh.
And this man had... And he had full use of everything, something, he got a fever or something. And so he was so grateful and so kind. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, what do you live for? And I said, I don't know. I don't even know what I answered. And he said, I'll tell you what I live for every minute. And that has stayed with me. I spent one Christmas deliberately by myself so that I could see what it was like.
Right.
And I cried. I played music. I talked on the phone and I got through it. And I got through it, I think, quite well. So if you stay centered in that gratitude just for being who you are and being alive and for yet another season, you know, and like you said, Michelle, taking it one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and, you know, and being with your husband and enjoying, you know, spending money on fun things. Doesn't matter if you're alone or with somebody, as long as you have this spirit inside you that is okay, you know? And that's where I live during the holidays. I try to connect, you know, to the universe or whatever your beliefs are, you know?
Right, right.
It sounds like, oh, goody. Yeah, that sounds great. It's the only recourse I have found that helps.
Right.
Being with a lot of people is okay, but I wanted it to be okay to be alone.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
That's good. That's good advice.
Remember that guy, Mr. White.
Yeah.
Or Conrad, whatever his name was, I forget now. I never forget him. I can still see his face. All you could see was his face. Couldn't move.
Wow.
He was going home, thanks for Christmas. I think he said for 2 hours, because that's as long as he could be away from all the machines that he was on.
Yeah.
And he was so excited about it. I mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gives you perspective.
It kind of does, you know, it kind of does.
Somebody in that situation, that's what their, you know, that's what their attitude is.
Let your kids do what they're doing. Let them do their grown-up, whatever they're doing with their families. Let them go and you concentrate on you, your life, your goodness.
I was going to say, even with my kids that were never estranged, we usually do a Thanksgiving of some sort. But for Christmas the last few years, my wife and I have done Chinese, you know, because
like Christmas story
or pizza, you know, yeah. And I'm like, it's just us. We're not going to go. We don't have to clean all that. We don't have to do all that.
You have to buy into the hype. You know, yeah. One of the things I think it was in my blog or a book, I said, what, you know, have yourself a merry little Christmas. How do you do that when Christmas is built around families?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer, you know.
I know, and I see a comment from somebody else that touches on that in a second, but I want to get to Lizbeth. Lizbeth. The grandchildren, that was really the toughest for me, too. I mean, the kids are one thing, but that tiny little new life, it was because I would be out to dinner with my wife and see what was clearly parent and child together, and it just destroyed me.
Yeah.
So you're definitely not wrong there. That's the most difficult part. If there's grandchildren involved,
yes,
that's the most difficult part, I think, a big way.
I agree. I have four grandchildren. I didn't see them for 10 years. So I missed the growing up. I did run with them as babies right after the contract. And
right.
Had some good years, but I'm not. I live 30 minutes away. I'm not invited to Christmas. I was uninvited to a graduation. My grandson invited me, and his mother said no. And like, so it the grandchildren is where the knife is right there. That is harder. I mean, your child is hard too, but the grandchildren missing those years, I will never get them back. They will never be able to bond with me as a younger grandmother, and I with them. So it was a terrible thing they did. I don't understand that.
I still get to see my granddaughter, so I'm happy about that. I don't get to see my grandson because he's a baby. But and I tell her, I'm like, you know, I always love you and I always want to see you.
Yeah.
I will go because my son is not with her mother. So I will go around him if I have to and go to the other grandmother. I'll do whatever I have to do.
Good. Yeah, I couldn't do any of that.
See her because she was, you know, she's eight. It's not like she doesn't know us. She spent time with us.
Right.
And so he's harming her in that too.
Oh, it's a terrible thing to do to the children.
He's letting us see her. We had her yesterday. So I'm happy about that.
Good. Yeah, that's good. You're lucky there.
Yes.
But to answer that question, that is... it's unconscionable.
Did you have other like grandchildren that were infants that never really knew you?
Yeah, two little ones, twin girls. Last time I saw them, they were three. So did you ever
feel like you didn't want to get attached to them?
Yeah, I did. But I thought, what's the high road here? So I always sent gifts and little stupid shit that I could think of, you know, that might be fun for them. And they know about me. My son has kept me alive to them. I wrote music for their, when they were born, lullabies for each kid. So he played this music. And but it's not the same as being in the room with them, you know. So they know about me, but I didn't know them. And we reunited in 2019 for a weekend. And their mother made sure that I didn't see the girls more than 2 hours. But okay, at least I saw them.
Yeah.
It's ugly. It's a very ugly dynamic.
Well, we're in a court battle for visitation for one, but it's a little different. It's a little bit different because it's our son that died.
Yeah. You should. I hope you win on that one.
Yeah, I remember you.
Say a little bit.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. So that's tough.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have. Yeah. I know I suggested about being with those families. I was actually just talking to somebody the other day, an interview I haven't posted yet. I haven't edited yet. The mom, same thing. It was too difficult.
I get that. I totally get that. And then you do that.
Right. And it, like I said, like we've been saying, everything doesn't work for everybody, but you know, there's all kinds of ideas that, you know, you take what works and get rid of all the rest. I'm sure everybody's heard that about everything.
Families are a big hype anyway, let's face it. You know, it's built for, most people can't come up to it.
I don't know who this Facebook user is, but Yeah, I was initially cut off, yeah, with no contact at all.
Me too. Me too.
Many, many are.
Yeah.
I have both.
You have both.
We circumvent because I have my granddaughter from my son that died. His name is Philip. And then my other granddaughter. And so they're old enough that they text each other and call each other. And then she's like, I want to see you, you know? And so he kind of works with us on that, but I don't ever have any contact with him. It's through them. Like she'll say, I'll ask my uncle if I can come over. If
oh, God.
Granddaughter can come over here. And so it's more like that.
Well, at least it's that, but yeah, break.
Yeah.
I've been at this for 20 years, so yeah. I'm getting pretty fed up with their behavior, I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, Has your son ever come back, Nancy, at all?
My son, yes, he has, and he's made an effort, but he's still married to somebody who controls everybody. It's a narcissist borderline personality disorder situation. I hate to throw out, you know, therapeutic terms, but it's the truth. I mean, she completely controls everybody in the family. Everyone's afraid of her. And so that's his life and he chooses it. And that has to be something that I have to accept, you know? So, yeah, but he does text me and every now and then he calls and every now and then we go to dinner. So it's better, but you know what? It's like an out of body experience. It's like, I barely know him anymore. And I, you know, it's like, okay, great. Okay.
Right.
It's not great.
So Kathy also asked, do your siblings act toward you sense a strange?
It's a very human to lose all of them, right?
Yeah. I think it's
common. I do.
What was that?
I think it's common. Like my oldest daughter was the leader of this. And once she was just like, well, mom and dad are this way, so I'll just cut them off. The other kids were like, oh, my God, you can do that? Like, how can you do that? And now they've done it, you know, fast forward. So right. I think people jump on the bandwagon. It becomes almost like a mob mentality kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think she was asking about her sisters. And I've heard that before, too, where, you know, not just your kids, but your other extended family will then estrange from you and they'll what's the right word? I don't know. yeah. With the estranged child. So I think that might be what she's talking about. It's definitely. Yeah.
It happens. It's not in my case, but my family has been cut off completely, you know, from them. And they were all like, what? But no, thankfully. But I just have one kid, so who knows? They could. It happens a lot with siblings.
It does.
Talk to.
Yes. Yeah. She asked that in a subsequent question about the extended family. So yeah, it definitely happens with the extended family. So
yeah.
So let's see, Stephanie. I mean, my granddaughter one time for about 20 minutes, and she was 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. That's just terrible.
It's, you know, and in that case, I mean, it's harder on you at that point than it is the child, the grandchild, because, you know, they don't know you. But that's kind of the way it was with my granddaughter. She was older, but not quite old enough to really understand who we were because we weren't around all the time either. We lived about an hour or so apart. So it's not like we were over every weekend, you know. So it was kind of similar. So when we got reintroduced, they kind of had to tell her, well, this is, you know, you used to call him Grumpy because she couldn't say Grandpa. So Grumpy has stuck.
I
that's
like
my that. Name, that's which is terribly appropriate sometimes. and so we had to reintroduce her and whatever, and it was great. But, you know. So that definitely happened with mine too. Someone else, another user, grandkids, they've never met. Yeah, I'm sure.
We get it.
Yeah, so many people out there, us included in some of them. You know, I had things not altered. I'm sure there would have been a lot of that for me too. So,
I had a friend this week that I knew. Well, I mean, we're friends on Facebook now, but I knew her 30 years ago when my kids were little. We raised our kids together in Omaha. And she said that I saw that one of the boys had gotten married and it said, we really miss our dad. And I reached out to her. I'm like, what happened to their dad? Because I knew they'd gotten divorced and he lived in Florida. And she said, oh, a year ago, he dropped dead in his house and they were estranged from him. And now all the kids are really, really struggling with that.
Yeah.
Should.
And yeah, I mean, and she said that they, you know, they all have a lot of guilt. He tried to make up with them several times. He wrote letters. He called them, you know, everything.
Stuff we've done.
And they don't have anything to do with him. And now they're realizing life is short. Life goes quickly and things can happen that you don't anticipate when you're young. And then it's too late.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Michelle, you might be able to glean a little on this since you've.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's a little different, your situation, but maybe you've heard some about.
Well, we've spent plenty of money on attorneys. Grandparents visitation, it depends on your state, of course. I'm in Arizona. Yeah. But in Arizona, the way it works is you can get visitation pretty fairly easily. But it's going to be, you know, maybe once a month on a Sunday afternoon for a couple of hours. And it's going to cost you between $7,500 and $10,000 to get that.
Yeah.
And depending on how hard they fight you. We did get visitation with our granddaughter. And it's a whole thing now. So they've done some other workaround things and so we have court in January. We'll find out if we, you know, can get her at least what we're asking for is full custody in her situation. But that's because my son died and we've spent her whole life with her. So
yeah,
it's a whole different situation than this. But
right.
If my son wasn't letting me see our granddaughter, I think I would go that route because
yeah,
I would want to see her. Now he has a baby that I don't have any interest in seeing. I am not attached to that baby and I don't plan on getting attached. I don't trust him. You know, that was the first thing we started with. How do you trust again? Well, I don't. I'm not going to trust that he won't pull that relationship away. And I don't want that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I've worked with some people who all fail at getting any visitation. I don't remember what states they're in, but it depends on your states. Good luck. I mean,
it's
uphill
battle.
It's an uphill battle. Thank you. And if you have a state that supports grandparents' rights, fabulous. If not,
right,
you could lose a lot of money and time.
And I don't believe here in Florida. I don't believe they do.
Florida's not. No, I live in Florida. I'm still a resident of Florida. But
most attorneys will give you a free consult on it. And find a good family law attorney. You know, I would ask that question of them.
Yeah.
And it also can potentially alienate your adult child big time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But your case, of course, is different. But
not really. she's now her mom is estranged. So.
That's tough. But,
nobody would talk about this when we were having our kids because it didn't happen, or at least we didn't know about it, you know?
Yeah. You know, and the more people I talk to though, I mean, I think we didn't call it what it is now, and it didn't happen to the extent, I don't think. I think there were issues because the more people I've talked to and the more they've looked back in their family because I did it, you know, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, there was estrangement there.
About that,
you know, I just didn't realize what it was.
Right.
I don't think it was I could be wrong because I wasn't terribly close with a lot of my family. But I don't think it was necessarily you are a terrible person, I'm going to cut you out of my life. I think it was more of the drifting away and,
or a little snubbing. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least that's what I'm telling myself. I could be wrong. So, But
I think if there's abuse involved or something like that, to me, that would be justified. If some, I don't need to take anyone's abuse and they don't need to take my abuse. Like, if, you know, if I was abusive to my kid, I would see it more from their perspective. But that isn't, I think I'm a very strong personality and I say what I want. And I curb that. They might not think I do, but I do. And I think that, they have a problem with that. So I work on it, right? Yeah. That's all you can do. But there's no abuse, you know?
No.
Right. And I think that's what bothers me.
And so, even though you might be a strong personality, you don't do it intentionally to make them upset. It's just who you are. And if you, you know, realize it's having an issue, then like you said, you try to alter it a little bit.
When they come to me when they want something done too. So they take advantage of it when they need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then here's another one from Kathy. Why aren't our children learning one in conflict? That's a it seems like our kids' generations, and especially the new generation of kids, they just don't talk. You know, they don't actually communicate. They don't. I don't know if they know how.
A lot of them are confrontational avoidant.
Yes.
What'd you call that, Nancy?
Confrontational avoidant.
Yes.
So well, they just act on
everything's here.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I've read that this is a growing problem, that this generation, the part of the brain that controls the thumb is growing larger, and the part of the brain, like the frontal cortex, I forget what it's called off the top of my head,
frontal cortex.
That part of the brain that's, you know, are the emotions and compassion is shrinking in college kids that they did this study on.
Yeah. Yeah, and then some people are commenting about just it being easy to delete people from your life and whatever. And yeah, so, and it is the mentality.
Yeah, I think this is all the terms that are new. Cancel culture, ghosting,
right.
The phone thing, whatever you just said. So, yeah, there's something going on here.
There's a really good book that I'm reading. It's called Stolen Focus, and it's all about the focus of our children, adults as well.
Yeah.
But as we're raising them up in this culture of just being on their phone all the time, it's really harming our culture.
Oh, yes, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I really appreciate you guys being here today. I think, and we've gotten some really good responses. I'll definitely do it again. For everyone, I know Nancy has a couple of books, so I'm sure you can find her on Facebook. I looked earlier, so if you want to look up Nancy for that, and Michelle, I know you've been through a lot, and you've gone through a lot of counseling, and you know, I think you mentioned you have your lady that you guys go to. And you've gone to for years. So
a counselor, I just go for I think it's kind of like maintenance.
Right. That's what you said. Yeah. That's right.
I just go, you know, I kind of consider her a friend at this point. It's like two friends sitting around drinking coffee at this point, but
right.
If anybody's looking to buy Arizona real estate, I'm your girl for that. I guess
hey, there you go.
Thing to plug. Huh?
I know. I was trying to think. I'm like, yeah, you know, Don't tempt me. We might move.
I have my books are on Amazon and everything, but I also have, if you don't want to buy anything, I have a blog that's free.
Oh, cool.
So, and
what's your blog?
GrandparentsDeniedAccess.com.
Oh, excellent.
Cool. Yeah.
And you can write to me. I have an email on there, and I think there's a link to my book. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. I haven't written for a while because I've been moving, and
Oh, that's no
fun. I'm never going to move again. It's too much.
GrandparentsDeniedAccess.com. Okay, I will check it out. I guess I could, is it okay, Dawn, if I say my son, Philip, I talk a lot about grief on there. I have philipshelton.com. That's my blog about my
family. Oh, that's right. You did tell me that. Yeah.
So, okay. And you don't have to buy anything there either.
Yeah.
My second book is more about reconciling and a lot of the dynamics and pitfalls and that.
Yeah, just like the person asked early on about being, you know, are you just wait? I don't remember how they put it, but are you just waiting for it to happen again? You know, so that's one of the,
you know,
one of the things with
interesting.
You got to spin
it around. I see that.
Did you see this gal that, or who, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but it says also there's a playbook out there that gives a step-by-step guide of how to cut off your family.
Oh, wow. Goodness. I did not see that. Interesting.
Really? Golly.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to, well, I've talked to a couple of people, they've mentioned it, but just the other, actually the estranged child mentioned Reddit. And that's not a place we want to go because they're very negative on there about, you know, they just spew it all, you know, and it's all public. So, you know, where there's private Facebook groups, you know, that's one thing, you know, you just let people, like in our private Facebook group, we just let people vent if they need to or whatever. But some of the public stuff, and you just don't want to see some of that. So I would avoid that if anybody is listening to that. Just not a good place to go. Productive.
Fill your head with good things.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Really,
for
watch your thoughts.
Yeah.
Read up with books. Listen to good stuff. You know, on YouTube or whatever. Fill yourself up with positive and light. You know.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys again. We're going to, I think, go for now. And if you guys have any, if anybody else has questions, any of the listeners, obviously you have my Facebook and or YouTube, wherever you're listening at, hit me up. And you can contact Nancy and Michelle at those places that they mentioned. And I will do it again. Here in the near future. So I appreciate you guys coming. And so we will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you.
You betcha. Thank you guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.